You are about to experience the Corpse Cast. We would advise any listener who may be ill, pregnant, or of weak constitution to reconsider listening to the show for fear of an onset of health issues related to encountering bouts of pure shock or fright. For those who wish to continue, just remember, to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast, only a podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 348 of the Corpse Cast. I'm Mike.
And I'm the talent.
We'll get into that in a minute, okay? But first of all, let's go ahead and invite. We got Rad Rob, Handsome Rob Gray on the show.
Woo!
Welcome today. It's kind of a special day. Go ahead and introduce yourself, will you?
Hi, I'm Handsome Rob. I like long walks on the beach, gardening.
It's like I've never had that kind of hair in my life. And the older I get, it's like, you know, the longer it goes without me having any hair, you know, it's like you'd never get used to being bald, but like that. But then you see a guy coming in and he needs to put a headband on just to keep it out of his face.
Yeah.
It's very, it's disheartening.
It's a trade-off.
It's disheartening.
Though. I can't grow a full beard. There's patches. It's combed over.
But you get the Wolverine going on
pretty good. No.
Yeah.
No, he lives up to his name, especially today, Handsome.
Handsome, it's true.
And if you'll remember, we had him on. I can't remember what episode we had him on, but he was representing Toxic Dose back in probably 2016 or 2017, right?
That seems about right, yeah.
And now you're playing with Toxic Holocaust and just got back off a tour with the Immortal. See what I did there?
Yeah.
The Immortal Abbott. Yeah. So, so before we get into any of that stuff, let's introduce the show real quick. We're going to be doing Swords and Sorcery. And you may be asking yourself, well, Michael, is that horror? And I'm like, up yours for number one asking that right to my face. And second of all, yes, it's horror. It's got a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of like the horror things. We'll talk all about that in a minute. But we're going to be talking about Conquest from 1983, which is a Lucio Fulci directed film. Okay. And so, by the way, that's a horror right there, right? That's horror movies right there. Okay. Am I wrong? Do you guys disagree? You better not.
I'm going to disagree a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But we can, this is up for debate. We're going to talk about this.
Okay. And number two, we're talking about Deathstalker from 1983. Steven.
Yeah.
Let's get back to you.
Okay.
First of all.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to let everybody know, today's a weird thing because apparently the mixing board that I have is taken a dump since the last time actually two inputs work, but only two inputs work. Okay. So that's weird. And so we're doing a little thing, a little experiment today with the sound. Hopefully it sounds just good. It comes out okay. And number two, I was informed this morning that there's going to be some remodeling done upstairs. So if that seeps into the podcast, I apologize. So we're not using headphones, and that's why Steven's upset today. Steven, would you like to air your grievances?
It's throwing my game off a little bit. It's true. I need more me. I need to hear more me, please. Can I get more me in the monitors?
Bro, I wish.
You know, that's what I need.
Listen,
I need to hear more me.
If we had monitors, yes.
Well, they're the cans. They're the cans.
I
need to hear me. I don't want this me. I want this me. You know, and it's also the intimacy of hearing your voice. You know,
Steven's
it makes me feel like it's like a warm blanket.
Okay, so I didn't realize
like a
this
warm
is how
electric
Steve
blanket.
Is.
It's true.
I didn't realize this is how Steve
it comforts
is like
me.
when he doesn't have the headphones.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very bizarre. I don't really know how to react.
I don't even recognize myself. You know, if I were to look in the mirror right now, I wouldn't be able to tell it was me because I don't have the headphones on.
Bro, will you do me one favor?
I don't know if I can.
Okay,
work
but
like
here's
this.
The thing too.
Yeah.
It broke since we haven't had voicemails in a while too, right? So
it's true. That hurts me too.
So well, that's your job. So,
oh, I know.
So,
I know.
Okay. So I mean,
I came up with a question.
Okay.
I came up with a question. It's a doozy too. It's
okay,
a doozy question. Yeah.
Well, okay. So do you want to give that now? And but
no.
If you give
go ahead,
it now,
please.
Then we're done whining.
Please.
Okay. No. Okay.
No. Go ahead. Cool. Go ahead.
Now you're making me feel bad.
I got to interject real quick before we move on from more me.
Yeah.
When you're performing live, are you a more me guy?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I just want to hear drums in the monitor. I don't want to hear guitar. I don't want to hear bass. Vocals what? No, just all bass drum. That's all I want to hear. Just right there in my wedge monitor off to the side. All I want to hear are drums. Not, I don't have enough drums that I'm playing. I want to hear drums there too, you know? So fuck everything else and just more me. Yeah.
That's an interesting. I'm always curious how people do their monitors because everybody's so different.
Yeah. No, and in all honesty, I want to hear bass and guitar and some vocals, you know, just
So you don't get lost.
Some I've heard some drummers that want it like the full effect, you know, they want it, they want the whole thing. But I'd rather, I mean, I'm playing to the bass, you know, mainly in guitar, you know, but I want to hear vocals for like inflection stuff like that, cuz it's never the same. You know, you don't want to play every night the same way that you played the night before or whatever, right? So, you know, there's differences, but no, I've done sound before and I've had people say, yeah, I need more me up here, please. You know, and so it's just always kind of funny to me.
I mean, it is funny. I definitely hear people do that. I'm like, I don't like any of me in the monitor.
Nothing at all.
If I can, if they'll allow me to turn up the amp in the room loud enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear my guitar over stuff. I just need to hear it enough to hear that I'm in tune, and I don't get any of my vocal in the monitor.
So here's a question. Do you turn your guitar up and then go from your amp? So like if you get told to get turned down, you turn down in your amp or you get turned down in your guitar?
Turn down on the amp.
Yeah.
Guitar's full blast or off. And then I'm like, I go with that. But sometimes if I get too much guitar in the monitor, I play worse.
Sure.
Because you can like hyper analyze yourself because it's like in your face.
Right. No, for sure. For sure. But I do like to hear, I like to have mostly, if I'm going to hear me in all, you know, in honesty, I want drum. I want bass drum. You know what I mean? To like to hear that. Yep. Just to hear how it sounds like in kind of a mix. So I get an idea. But mostly bass and guitar.
I'm a kick, snare, main vocal kind of guy.
Gotcha.
And that's it. Yeah, mostly kick and snare. I can get by without a vocal. I'm following the drums. I'm playing to the drums. Right. So that's paramount.
Yeah. Gotcha. Cool. You know, we played a show together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we played a couple shows together.
I think it was a Shred Shed.
Yep. Yep. We played there. We played together at the Metro.
Okay.
I believe there might have been one other. I mean, it's been so long since I played with my own band.
Oh, is that with Toxic Dose?
Yeah.
Still going? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, why did we do this? We're going to take a quick break. We're gonna do that to check on some technical issues that I think I just noticed. But we'll be right back. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Swears. I had to figure something out. We're going to try to provide you with the best podcasting experience that we can tonight. But with Steven's attitude, I don't know how we're going to pull it off. But we're going to do our best.
If it's going to be rough for you, because it's rough for me.
Well, Steven, I love you.
Yeah.
And I want you to be
happy.
I feel
like crying, Mike. I don't know.
Dude,
know if I can.
Take that weak ass shit out of here. We don't cry. We're men.
I cry a lot.
I cry a lot.
Anyway, you know what? Because I'm kind of bullshitting, you know. Uh-huh. But in all honesty, just right before coming over here, I was on Instagram and I was watching, and I came across this little video, this little snippet of a police dog's last call, you know. Like
oh, hell
started.
No.
Yeah, tears. I'm crying. Boy. I'm bawling. I'm bawling, you know. You know, seriously. Yeah.
I thought you'd be more of an ACAB, including dogs. I thought that'd be your kind of
it's dog
your
first,
kind of
Mike.
People. All cops are bastards.
All dogs are beautiful.
Except dogs. ACAB Ed. That's
are,
you people. That's not me. Anyways, let's not get too weird into it. All right, so why do we do this, Rob? We brought you on the show. Like I said, he just got off tour with Abbat. Is that how you say it? I don't even.
Yeah,
know.
That is how he's.
Because
how
I always it. I always just said it like that because I think it's funny because he's from Norway or Sweden or something, right? So I don't.
That's
how he said it when he introduced himself.
So that's so I say it like that. But anyways, why don't you go ahead and first of all share some stories from the road? You said you got some, and before we get, by the way, he did watch the movie, so you know he's gonna
got
join
notes?
Us for that. Yeah, he's got. I see notes.
You took notes.
Yeah,
I took notes, man.
but let's enjoy some of the input that we have since we're lucky to have Rob here today.
I'll just start with kind of the layout for what the tour was and how it went. It was 5 weeks in Europe, and we were sharing a bus with Abbat.
Abbat.
And It's like a double-decker bus, which is kind of insane. Ooh. To be honest.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm picturing like red, Londonish, British double-decker.
It was actually the brand was Zeppelin, and it was in the Led Ooh. Zeppelin font. It was all black.
Oh, cool.
But it was very nice lounge, and then the whole top floor was all the bunks. Hold on,
you had a lounge?
A lounge. There's two lounges.
Wow.
It's wild, dude. Yeah. Like, I've never, that's the nicest bus I've ever been in. I've only been in two.
Well, I mean, he is a bot.
But yeah. So like you go in, there's like the couches and stuff, a kitchenette, like espresso machine, some fridges, and you go upstairs and there's a little hallway and it splits right. And there was like, I want to say eight bunks to the right with a door. And that's where Abbott's crew was. And there was a front lounge. And then to the left, there was four bunks, which is where we were at. And then another door, and it was Abbott's bedroom.
Oh, so
we were basically like right next to him, bunk buddies. And we like showed up, you know, minding our P's and Q's because we got to share the space. And he's like, in the best way, like a living cartoon.
That's what I was wondering, because it's like, is it okay? So this is the, I apologize for cutting you off here and interjecting here. But the thing is I feel like he's kind of the black metal Glenn Danzig a little bit, where it's like, I mean, he still kicks ass. Like Glenn Danzig, I saw him a few years ago, right? But he's kind of just a silly guy and a fun, like, whatever, right? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Or am I being a dickhead?
No. He's like silly. He's fun. Like we kind of, you know, we're just minding our own business the first week. But when we had the first day off, we were out drinking, doing our thing. And all of a sudden we get a text from some of the crew guys, come drink with us. Meet us here. We meet up. And like, I was wearing a Kiss shirt. Abbott starts talking to me about Kiss. And then we start talking about movies. And he's like quoting the entire first like scene from Star Wars as Darth Vader.
Oh, no shit.
And then we start talking about Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and like doing impressions and doing the faces and stuff. So like fun, very fun.
Yeah, that's fun. That is cool.
Is it an unwritten rule? There's no heat in the can?
No, you can't. Nope, absolutely not.
No heat in the can?
None, no.
I know what that means.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you just ruin everybody's day, I assume, right?
I actually don't even think the septic systems are designed for that, is my understanding when I started talking to the bus driver.
Oh, right. Really?
I was like, right. Is it just like an unspoken rule? He's like, no, like they're not really designed for that.
Oh, so I just thought it was like a courtesy thing, but maybe it's like the bus industry are like they're putting this propaganda out there, right? And they're being like, oh no, it's not cool to do that. You're thinking you could do that, but no, you can't even do that.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
Wow.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Now, whose bus was it in Illinois, Chicago that ended up dumping their waste load? Dave Matthews, right? And a tour bus, a tour boat was going underneath.
Yeah,
and it just unloaded.
Do you know what sucks? You know what sucks about the Dave Matthews Band is I don't know what's worse: getting hit with Dave Matthews shit from his bus, or having to listen to his music.
Oh. Well, is it one shit from a bus, or is it a 2-day Dave Matthews back-to-back festival?
Oh man,
I guess there's a lot of things I'm not taking into consideration.
Yeah, you're right. Oh man,
you're right. No, but that's cool. So, I mean, keep going if you got it.
Yeah. I mean, we just partied that day, hung out, whatever, went to bed, did another few days of tour. We talked to him, you know, in between shows. But the next day off, we were kind of, I don't know, middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. We're parked outside the venue the day before. It's an industrial area, so there's not much going on. So a lot of their crew was like, we're going to get hotels. And we're like, nah, we'll stay on the bus. Mm-hmm.
They've been holding their shit in for weeks.
Yeah, so we stay on the bus because everyone else leaves.
Yeah.
So it's just toxic holocaust on the bus. Mm-hmm. And there's a PlayStation. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, cool.
Hanging out. And it's like, I don't know, 7 p.m. And we were just having a chill day, and all of a sudden the bus door opens and Abbott jumps into the bus.
Yeah.
He's holding three heavy metal magazines and a case of beers. And he's like, I missed you guys.
Aww.
So he must have got bored at the hotel, and then
he hung out. That sounds like a nice fucking guy, man. That's awesome.
And we, you know, we listened to like cool heavy metal, talked about metal bands, and he told us some cool stories about, you know, the people he'd met, the time he met Rob Halford or Ronnie James Dio. and like
so he's I think he's what, probably right around 50 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So he's basically my age almost, you know. Yeah. I'm almost 50. But so it's like, so he's been around long enough to be there in the 90s and to be like 20 and, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, that's a long time. And so to see all those guys, was he saying he saw him like a long, long time ago?
Or? Like, played festivals, met them.
Yeah.
It was talk that's about wild. Hanging out with them backstage, yeah, and that sort of stuff, which is really cool. And then, you know, like, we watched the new Godzilla movie.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
Awesome.
Because we were like, yeah, I don't know, it's a monster movie.
Yeah, it is. Cool. I wasted my life. Like, not meeting Rob Halford and all that shit back in the 90s, bro. Now I'm just boring and
unaware of all the cool stuff in the 90s. I was too young.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? You know, my wife reminds me of that all the time. And it's quite irritating because I'll be like, what year did this movie come out? And I'll be like, oh, it's like 2002. And she'll be like, oh, I was 9. So I'm like, hell, what is going on? But yeah, anyway, what's that noise?
Oh, something going on with your,
like I said, they're doing it. So what? No, they're fine. She's really nice lady. In fact, there was a water leak and that. So they're pulling, you know, and it's funny because we'd already like postponed this one. I'm just like, screw it. We're just doing it. We're doing it. And, you know, whatever. So we're going to be fine. Hopefully this is close enough. Anyway, sorry, guys. Sorry.
We could have told
I'm talking
folks.
About these guys, not you guys.
No, I hear you. But we could have told the folks anything that we're actually doing work in studio building.
Bro, but
you know, and
so
like,
bro, I know, but the thing is she's such a nice lady, right? I call her lady and she's like 10 years younger than me. But she's such a nice person and she's so sweet. And she finally got these guys out coming over and the interns, and I'm just like, it's fine. She goes, oh no, you guys aren't recording, are you? And I'm like, yeah, we are. And it's like, she's like, oh, I'll tell him. I go, it's fine. It's fine. She's so nice. And she's like the one neighbor I actually kind of like, you know? So it's like, let's just, mm-hmm, we're just going to mm-hmm. chill out. And I'm trying to be, you know, just
is that why you've been swiping her Amazon packages off her front door?
No, bro. No. Plus, she's such a nice, like, normal lady. It's probably nothing that I would even want. Oh, good. I got another throw pillow. You know, it's like I don't need those, man. No, she's super cool though. But yeah, so okay. So I mean, come on, keep it coming.
If you want.
I got
a couple more.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The whole. Because everyone has the makeup, right?
Oh,
and they.
I want to ask you something real quick. Sorry, I was going to ask this before we went onto that tangent. But you know his like pose that he does.
Yes.
Like did he do that for you? Did he do that live? I assume he did it live.
Yeah, he did it live, and he kind of stands like that all the time.
Oh, really? Is he a big guy?
I would say we're probably about the same height.
Okay.
5'10" Okay. You know, whatever.
So he's not like a little guy.
No, but there's like a, it's. Like I said, a real life cartoon. He like has that stance and kind of walks a certain way all the time,
really?
Which is cool. Like, it's like, I don't know.
You know what's funny is I'm not even really that huge of a black metal fan. Like, all my black metal buddies are like, I like Dimmu Borgir and I like Alcest and, you know, like the thing. They're like, that's not black metal. And I'm like, no. So I was actually listening to it.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, eh, okay.
Honestly, I'm like so unversed in black metal.
No, I don't know shit about
it. I only know a little bit about it because my guitar player, he was into all the first and second wave black metal stuff. Mm-hmm. So I listened to it because I was like, what's this all about?
Mm-hmm. I listened to some Immortal. Yeah, Immortal. I get that mixed up with an E word, but I can't remember that one right now.
Emperor.
I get those two mixed up.
Yeah.
But I used to think black metal, like when I was in high school and stuff, Cradle of Filth came out, and I'm like,
yep,
bro, black metal, and I like them, and I, you know, Dimmu Borgir came out, and then like lately it's been Karashangang. You know, I assume that's how you say it. But it's like, no, that's not the real stuff, you know. It's like, it's guys like Immortal and Emperor, and you know, I mean, I've seen the show. What was that movie with about the true Norwegian heavy metal? Yeah, Lords of Chaos, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I saw it, and it's like, nah, I was never into those guys, you know.
Did you wear the makeup?
No, I didn't, but seeing them put that on and take that off every night and wear leather trench coats, I was like, this is exhausting.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm like in the same sleeveless shirt, and I'm like, over that.
Yeah,
I bet. So the makeup, they do the makeup, so there's like always baby, like baby powder.
Yeah.
Because they're powdering their grease paint.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And one night, I'm in, where are we at? Gothenburg.
Gothenburg.
Where is that?
Germany, my people.
No.
Where is it?
Gothenburg?
It sounds like Germany.
It's north. I sound like such an idiot to anyone who knows.
I don't know. I was just
Gothenburg.
There.
Gothenburg.
You know, where like In Flames and At the Gates are from. That
right, oh, right.
Sweden?
Sweden.
Yeah.
Opeth is from.
Yeah, there. So we're there, and there's this woman that was at one of the other shows. She's from Poland, but she lives in Gothenburg, but she is at the Polish show. But she was there, and Joel and I were going out getting some shots, and she was talking to us, and she just kept buying us shots.
No, no, dear.
Oh, boy.
You know, we had played, and I was just throwing them back, and I went in the bathroom to go shower while they were playing, and I'm like, finished going to get dressed, and I slip on a pile of baby powder goo, and I like, I scream. I hear Joel and the other in the green room like, "You okay?" I'm like, "I think so," but I totally go down. I'm like, one leg stuck in my pants, fell on flat on my back, and this is like 3 days before the end of the tour. And in the shower, it was just a shower, but there was like a curb strip
that
was like 4 inches tall, you know, so the water doesn't get out of the shower.
Oh, right, right, sure.
But I fell like on that with my back, and I'm laying in on the floor of the shower going, I hope I just didn't paralyze myself.
Oh my God.
I got up and I was fine.
Oh,
and
good.
I was like, but I was like, dude, I almost made it out unscathed, and I slipped on some baby powder.
That's a way to go. Like you hit your head on the toilet or something, you know,
yeah.
Like, you know, like.
But also, so how did you get into Toxic Holocaust? Because that's a band that's been around for quite a while.
Accident,
yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Coincidence.
Because you had similar name of your band.
That's a
by
coincidence,
the way, I still have your Toxic Dose CDs down there. Do you notice a CD player
unwrapped
in here?
No.
I don't. No. They came in those little sleeves.
Yep.
But the thing is when he gave those to me, I had a car with a CD player in it.
Yep.
Now I no longer do. but I still have there's only like 10 CDs right behind Steve.
Yeah, someday I'll put out the album. I have a full length.
Yeah, waiting. Do it.
I'll send you the link after.
Okay.
Let's do it. But
yeah, cool.
How did I get in with Toxic Holocaust? I knew the guitar player who was playing in the band before me, you know, in that band, because he had played with his band at the Metro, and we became friends
because
we were both wearing They Live shirts.
Ooh.
But he kind of put me in touch with Joel, and I did some work on Joel's main White Flying V that he played for the longest time.
Right.
I did like a full refurb on it, and I was like, well, the case that he shipped it to me in was totally destroyed because it was from touring. You know, latches were broken. I was now it's really nice. I don't want to mail it. I don't want it to get destroyed. So I talked to my wife. I'm like, let's go on a business trip.
Right.
Quote. Yeah. So we drove to Portland basically for a vacation.
And delivered it.
And delivered him his guitar.
Nice.
And so it just kind of went from there, huh?
Yeah. We had a conversation about it, and he was just kind of asking what I do. And at that time I was doing the guitar thing, building the guitars, playing in my band, but I was teaching guitar lessons, and you know, like I kind of mentioned how I was doing that and what that's all about. Basically, you have to figure out songs. Like, I want to learn this song today in my half hour lesson.
Right.
So you listen to it twice and you have to figure it and then show it to somebody.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of, you know, mentioned that some stuff like, I would like to tour, you know, my band, which is so naive because I didn't know anything about the business, but like asking him if there was some opportunity I could have in that sense is like crazy because there's management and booking.
Gotcha. Right.
All that stuff that I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
But
still.
I mentioned, you know, I would like to tour as part of my career or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what is this, like spring? And then in like August of that year, this is 2019. August, no, not even August. July. In July, he sent me a text message asking if I wanted to jam, come out to Portland to jam. And my response was, how long's your set? And I have a passport.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And then by August, you know, I flew out, did one show, came home, and then went back a couple weeks later and did my first tour with them and went out for 9 weeks when we were with support with GWAR.
So you guys realize, and I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking about to the listeners, that I am sitting in here with like band royalty. You know, we got Steven. I met Steven because his drums blew me away. And then we got Rob, and he's out with a bat and doing
all this
fun stuff too. Yeah. One last thing I wanted to talk about before we let you off the hook and telling your stories is so you make custom guitars, right?
Yes.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And then tell everybody where you can find them and purchase them. And because I see them all the time, I'm like in like the Facebook feed, and I'm like, I don't even want to look at that right now. I'm writing code at my desk, the biggest peon in the world, and this is just, oh, cool. Look, you guys do this.
But you're missing the part where I'm standing at a workbench listening to podcasts by myself all the time, making guitars.
That doesn't sound.
It's like
that,
the same.
It doesn't sound that bad.
I mean, it's cool. I still like
it. Yeah, I was like,
So. I own and operate Radical Instrument Products, or RIP Custom Guitars. So I've been building for 20 years now. I built my first guitar when I was 15 because I couldn't afford the custom shop guitar I wanted. Mm-hmm. But so I've been building guitars and playing them, of course. And I just made some connections along the way by having this opportunity to play guitar in Toxic Holocaust. Because the first tour we did was with Gwar, and I made friends with Pustulous.
Okay, yeah.
You know, Brent Pergeson, and we talked about guitars, and he checked out my build and stuff, and eventually he came around and ordered a couple guitars. You know, I made him two custom shop instruments, and you know, unbeknownst to me at the time, it was his final tour with the band. Mm. So I don't know if he's out permanently. I think he's just stepping back from touring maybe for a little bit. But you know, so the guitars, did a tour with him. That was cool. And his replacement was in the band, well, in one of the bands that was support. So knowing that he was going to take Brent's place, he reached out to me asking about another guitar. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I have, when do you need it? I'm leaving on tour to go to Europe.
Right.
I can't necessarily build you a custom shop, but I have a couple cool custom shop ones that I've already made.
Uh-huh.
And he actually ended up purchasing one, so the current and the previous Gwar guitar players have their guitars that they've ordered from me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool. And
so the 2019, is that, did you guys play out here at Salt Air?
We played at the Depot.
At the Depot. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I know that Salt Air show, though. I went to that one just as a fan. But yeah, we played at the Depot. That was actually I've only played with Toxic Holocaust here twice. In the 5 years I played in the band, we played that show, and then
5 years, that's gone fast.
Yes.
Because
we get a cheat, the pandemic.
Right.
I get a 2 year resume pad.
I was at that Depot show. That was great. That was a great show.
I don't think you were in Toxic Holocaust when we did the podcast up at my old apartment.
No. So, I was still many years from that.
Yeah, and that's wild. No. Oh man, time.
Yeah,
as Steve Miller says, it keeps on slipping.
I mean, 5 years. I had that realization because someone asked me how long I'd been in the band, and I was like, five. Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, man. That's awesome. Cool. Well, we're glad to have you, and we're gonna start talking about some sweet action sword and sorcery movies. And before we do that, though, you know what time it is, don't you?
Don't say it. I was there. I was right there.
I saw you make the B with your lips. I know. And I'm done with it. I don't even want
to
see it.
I never get to say it. You always get to say it. I want to say it.
All right. So we're gonna be right back with our bone saw. Ty Purvis, if you're here, it's your nomination that I checked out. So we'll be right back after this sweet action bumper. All right. We're not even stopping because now we're still even on these.
Yeah.
So I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you got me before I got it out.
I know. I saw you make the B. I don't know. Okay, so we're back, but I don't know if you guys know what a punk ass Steve is, by the way, because he's just like he was about to make that B. He's about to say, "I got you for three." It's like, why?
I got you for 3 minutes.
No, he did it like this. 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
It's like, come on. All right. So let's remind everybody: the bone saw is a recognition that we do here on the Corpse Cast of independent horror people making content, stuff like that. I don't really like the word content, right? But that's what it is. So I guess it's whatever. It's not like this is content, I guess.
So it's a dirty word. It's become dirty now.
Well, no, but it just seems so impersonal.
It just makes me think that you've got an OnlyFans page.
Slinging that tent.
Dude, I would. If I could, if there was like a, if it, maybe there is, maybe I'll try.
You could.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
There's a market for
like, hey, tubby,
tall, bald, bearded men.
Like, ooh.
Bears.
How about if you add a tiny pee-pee? Do we got that?
Oh, it's required.
Oh!
It's required.
Anyways, okay, so like I said, I asked for some nominations for the Bonesaw Award a little while back. Ty, my buddy Ty, who is an LSU fan, but do not give him any crap for that because we've been over it, and it sucks for him. I apologize. I say that as a BYU fan. Like we've done anything good in the last 20 years. Anyways, okay. So he nominated on TikTok, Horror_Chronicles. Her name is Anna. She does a lot of stuff. So she does like little short videos, stuff like that. But I mean, they're not just like, hi, look at me. I hate TikTok. Like, I hate it. Like, my upstairs neighbor, who is, like, a really nice lady, I almost hate her because she has a TikTok page, right? And she, like, made friends with me. 70,000 followers. She doesn't even make any money off that. Or anything.
Oh, she's crushing it.
Yeah, but she's crushing it. But I watch it, and I'm like, she's just doing reaction videos with her on the set. You know, doing this. I'm just like, oh, my.
You know what
hell.
Gets me is when people those. Who do, what do they call it? Like, in, like, characters, like, in Grand Theft Auto, is like, they kind of.
Like the NPC type thing?
Yeah.
Dude,
they're huge.
No, I am with you.
I don't understand.
Maybe it's because of my old age. Maybe it's, yeah, I do exactly. not know. But the thing is so, but this is different because it's like she goes up there and not only does she like give insights to movies that she's watched, like mini reviews, stuff like that, but she'll also say, okay, it's the beginning of the week. Here are some stuff that I checked out and here's what you know, kind of if you watch her and you notice that you have kind of the same taste in films, then you can watch her and she makes it really easy just to grab real quick and to watch those movies. And she'll tell you where they're streaming and all that, which we don't do a lot. By the way, both tonight's are streaming on Tubi. Anyway, so she also does a podcast that she hasn't been doing for a while, but it's called Hello Sydney. It's all about Scream, shocking. But no, so that's her. I'm not super familiar with her. I trust Ty and his, he claims that it's the only other like podcast that he listens to besides ours. I mean, if he listens to ours, Ty, I expect Monday you got to give me the password bananas. And if I haven't heard if you haven't texted me the word bananas
isn't that
by
your
Monday,
safe word?
Yeah, well, no.
I feel like that's too many syllables for a safe word.
Mine's rutabaga.
Yeah. It's like, ow. Okay.
Yeah, rutabaga. That's you know. Yeah.
All right, so that's it. And now, okay, so let's just get into the topic, okay? Sword and sorcery. Okay, there's other words for it. Heroic fantasy, a.k.a. muscly dudes without shirts. It's obviously more fantasy than horror, okay? I get that. I understand that, Steven. Steven has a real bone to pick with me, apparently, on that, but whatever. While on the first hand, in order to be a part of the sword and sorcery genre, you need to have some kind of hero, anti-hero, or group of both. And like we did Sorceress on the show quite a while back, and there was two topless chicks that were the things, which, by the way, check out Sorceress if you haven't.
I had to watch that the other night.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And the lion beast at the end. Oh,
right.
Anyway. So they go on a mission kind of a thing. It's kind of like a Hercules and the Legendary Journeys type of thing. Remember that in the 90s? Oh, of course you don't.
Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah, Kevin Sorbo. Of course. Remember that?
So I was more of a Xena.
Well, duh.
Right. Lucy Lawless.
Like, yeah. And Gabriel, yeah. Is it Gabrielle the side child?
Oh,
yes. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, but it's like, yeah. So me and my dad, I'd get home from the Mexican restaurant I used to work at, and I'd smell real bad. He'd be watching. I would sit down. We'd watch that in Renegade. Remember Renegade?
Yeah.
And then where Lorenzo Lamas had, like, in the intro, he had a shirt off. He had a gallon of water and was pouring it on his shirtless body. And we'd be like, we'd give each other a high five without even looking at each other. It's anyway. Long story short,
you're high-fiving over shirtless Lorenzo Lamas.
Bro, what? It's funny. I know that right now you're having a hard time finding the humor in anything, but there we go. I know you're in a bad mood.
I'm in a great mood.
Anyway, okay. Anyway, so when you look at it, there's a lot of art that goes with it. In fact, Boris Vallejo did the poster cover for the Deathstalker, and we all know Boris Vallejo from his remember the Satan's Baby Doll cover where there's that chick with the hot butt and she's hugging this Satan guy with the wings coming around. It's awesome news. So it's kind of like that stuff. What it is not is like high fantasy, like something like Lord of the Rings or something like that, where they're going to save the world and when there's a big apocalyptic event. No, this is just like, hey, you know what? I need you to do this, you know, whatever, like Have you guys ever seen Hercules with what's his name, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Which is
Conan.
Well, he also did Hercules too. Conan's the same type of thing.
Yeah.
But yes, but I was going to say, by the way, you need to watch that because it's not his voice.
Hercules in New York.
Yes,
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's amazing. But it's great. Anyway, so this is not a sword and sorcery podcast, but we figured, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and we're just going to take a little, you know, take a little. Side quest. How about that? That's in the vernacular of this. But I think the best sword and sorcery movie, and if you can agree with me or not, had to be Clash of the Titans from 1981. Definitely the first one that I saw.
So good. Yeah.
And they showed it to us in sixth grade and there was a titty in it.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah. Out of the bathtub.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was the,
there was the nursing scene.
Like, and then the butt yes, out of the bathtub. Yes.
And we were watching that in sixth grade and my teacher's like, this old guy's running up to try to put his paper over, like, you know, they roll out that thing, the TV.
The cart. You remember how VHS tapes, we kind of, when you pause them too much, when they kind of get
rewind
a little wobbly, right? Yeah, definitely my copy.
It was rated PG. We're all watching. TD.
I saw that in a theater.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
81.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So but let's just get into it. There's not really much. There's a history of it, but this is the course cast. You know, we're not here to go into all the things that make up a sword and sorcery movie. We're not going to go into the history of sword and sorcery, but we are going to pick two. One of which, the one that we're going to start with, and Steven has prepared a nice set of notes for us, was directed by Lucio Fulci, and it's named Conquest from 1983. Why don't we play a trailer real quick, and we will get right into that.
From a place beyond time comes a terrifying challenge beyond imagination. Conquest. Two men joined forces in a struggle for power in a realm of fear. Conquest. An act of courage to conquer the Queen of Darkness. They faced the armies of evil to win the weapons of light. Feel the power. Accept the challenge of conquest.
All right, we're back and we're talking about sword and sorcery movies. Tonight, one of the movies we're talking about is Conquest from 1983, directed by Lucio Fulci.
Lucio Fulci.
I like it as sauce.
Yeah, it's like a...
Starring Jorge Rivero as Mace, who's got 125 acting credits. Andre Ochiapinte.
Bro, you have to say it. Ochiapinte.
Ochiapinte as Ilias, who's got 69 acting credits.
Nice.
Yeah. Conrad San Martin as Zora, 135 acting credits. Jose Gras as Dado, who's 13 acting credits. And then Sabrina Siani as Orcon. Yeah, 24. Now, IMDb scores this at a 5.2. And
I buy that.
That's debatable in my
book. Oh, okay. Are we going to get to that later? Or are we going to debate it now?
And then Rotten Tomatoes gets it 30%.
Is that more of what you're? Is that more around what you're thinking?
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll talk about that. Okay. Lucio Fulci takes us on a mystical world. Take us to a mystical world where heroes battle warrior queens and demons. They save villagers from certain doom at the hands of barbaric creatures. Ilias is given a magical bow and is set forth on a journey, leaving behind his family and friends in his search for adventure. As he travels to strange lands, he encounters werewolf creatures who are killing innocent villagers at the orders of a powerful sorceress, the sorceress Orcon. Orcron's evil army tries to capture Elias and take his magical weapon, but are stopped by a lone hero called Mace.
All right.
Mace and Elias then set out to find the evil queen and destroy her forces of the dark side. Will Mace and Elias survive? Will they save the good people of this strange land? Or will they fall in love? Watch Conquest and find out.
You gave me an erection with that last part, bro. Wow.
The whole movie gave me it was definitely, you know.
Because Orcron was topless the whole time.
And
she had like this thing on, but she took it off. Let's just say Butterface has never been a more apt word to use.
That was the makeup. Now, one thing I want to talk about from IMDb, one of my favorite things are some quotes.
Oh dear, here we
go. Yeah,
it,
because IMDb and I remember these quotes. Some great quotes of the from the movie. Elias, what's your name? Mace. My enemies call me Mace.
Okay.
Elias, and your friends? I don't have any friends.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like these guys in the Sword and Sorcery, they hate people.
Oh,
like,
dude. And then IMDb, from IMDb once again, when a man meets a man, you never know which one will die. But when a man and an animal meets, a man is it's always the animal that dies. I'm on the animal side. Elias, isn't this an animal you're eating? Mace, I didn't kill him. Elias, that's a pretty strange law. Not when you're hungry.
Yeah.
All right. So that particular scene.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah.
Mace is a freegan.
I get it.
I call it an opportunivore.
Yeah, yeah. That you know, he'll eat meat if someone presents it to him, but he's not going to go and kill it or buy it himself.
So he kills, he shoots this innocent.
He shoots the guy,
like hunter guy, just like out of nowhere.
I feel like that's
magic
a loophole
arrow
that very few people take advantage of. If a dude is carrying a dead, you don't want to kill the animal.
Right.
But killing the dude is fine.
But aren't people animals? That's just, okay.
People are the most savage animals.
The most animal.
Steven. Yeah. So.
Well, and when he shoots the guy, he's all, I got good pretty quick, huh?
Yeah,
after
he totally
kills this guy.
Well, let's be real. Mace
is
kind of
a magic bow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does most of the work.
It's like this. I feel like that's what this movie in Deathstalker have in common. I mean, I feel like if you're the leader of the main character of a sword and sorcery movie, you're kind of a dick and you're kind of full of yourself.
Yeah,
man, you have the chiseled looks of a god.
Yeah.
And it's like.
It goes hand in hand. Now, it's interesting. This movie was filmed in Italy, Spain, and Mexico.
Right.
And one thing I really did appreciate about the movie is the amount of shooting outside that they did, you know.
Right.
I mean, because they really, when they were out in the elements for a lot of it. And can we talk about the amount of, like, fog?
Like the
fog machine.
So here's
what
the thing.
What was the budget?
I thought I was watching a 90-minute Elizabeth Taylor perfume commercial.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you remember back those in the 80s where they just put Vaseline all over the thing? But but it's like, I mean, I'm like wondering, well, I don't know if they've, I mean, I'm sure this is a remastering on Tubi. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But it's like, how are you going to remaster that? You ain't going to be able to see it anyway.
Right, right.
But it was, it looked good. It was, it made it kind of ethereal. Just the whole thing was weird. Also, some of the costumes of the dog men or whatever.
Oh,
it's like maybe we should see a little less of those.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Or how about like the web guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The web people. Yes.
Yeah, the web people. That was awesome. That was just. But what I really love is, you know, when you do that, when you like have like all these guys and you can use the same guys as the werewolves. As the same guys as the web guys
and the tribes people.
Yeah, right. Because you never know who they are.
And by the way, did you notice that it wasn't just the girl, the bad girl who had her tits out the whole time?
Ocaron?
I think they just didn't like shirts in that.
Right.
Like, because, I mean, they had makeup on their boobies, but it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna pull back the curtain. I'm gonna say something that's gonna shock you guys.
Okay.
I like movies with boobies in them. Okay, so
I'm not shocked by this. I mean,
so but
you know,
so this one,
I think everybody has
so
been
one,
listening knows how I feel.
Yeah, I feel. Oh yeah. 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 You feel. What do you think, Rob?
About the boobs or the movie?
About the movie. about all the above. There's no rules.
Movie, you know, it's not something I haven't read or seen before, you know, which a lot of the style of, I'm going to call it fantasy exploitation.
Sure, yeah.
Because the heavy themes of toplessness and raping and pillaging, not in this particular film, but, you know, there's a lot
there's
of
a,
that.
There's, yeah.
I know, within the first 5 minutes, they do rip a woman in half.
Yeah. Because it's kind of, you know, like it's graphic. There are some. Okay. And then we're going to split hairs about the is it horror or not, right? Horror, isn't that short for horrific? Some things can be horrific without being like spooky scary, right?
Sure, sure. So, but I also think that the Corpse Cast, I mean, we've done like straight up exploitation movies too.
Yes.
Like, so I don't think. I mean, yeah, nunsploitation, which yeah. there's, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we're not worried about it for this, but I mean, I feel like it has a lot of the same things that horror fans like. And I feel like maybe that's boobs. Where it fits. Boobs.
Gore. Yeah. I mean, there's
and boobs.
Violence.
Did we mention boobs?
Boobs. Boob. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, the 33 seems about right.
Yeah.
I mean, I rented it because I was like, I don't want to watch an ad. So I went on Amazon. Yeah. 49 cents.
Are you serious?
Awesome.
To rent it on Amazon. So I was like, all right, this movie is worth 49 cents.
Well, here's my biggest complaint about the movie. The very, like, right in the beginning, you have these bad guys, right? And they go in, and yeah, I mean, there was somebody, I can't remember if it was an axe or some kind of thing, like a rock on the end of a stake, smashed this guy's head in, this old guy's head, and it just explodes, and you see, awesome. Like, this brain stuff, right? And you're like, oh, shit. And then right after that, this woman is like, ripped apart from the legs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And fantastic. you're like, oh, shit. Fulci, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But then, I mean, that was like the worst by far. I mean, there was blood and there was some other things like that. But that really, like, I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
But that was it. That was not it as far as, like, all the gore or all the blood. But that was, like, the lion's share. It's like, you ever play that, you see that meme, oh, make a band with $10. You have $10 and it has, like the rows of how much money you have. They're like, okay. Make this movie with $10, and they took two of the top and none of the bottom ones because they're two of the top. We got the brain, and then we got the woman ripped in half, and that's all the budget we had to.
Yep, that's $9 of the $10.
Yes, exactly.
I will
and
say,
the rest was fog.
I will say, I was a fan of the pustule boils. You know, Alias. You know, that was extra. That was like Fulci.
That stuff was gross.
You know,
I don't gross like that. Like horror movies. I don't like people licking. I don't like seeing spit.
Pustules.
Pustules are gross to me too. Yeah.
Pustules. Yeah. yeah. And I made the decision, and I don't know if it was the gummies talking or not, but
I don't get it. What is that?
Is it like a lot of the Italian productions that the blood kind of looks like a tomato sauce?
It's very,
you know what I'm talking
about?
It's
very opaque.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
it kind of looks chunky. Like a red sauce. It's like frothy.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just the Italians, because I mean, the Hammer horror was like that. I mean, granted it was, you know, 20 years before this movie, but, and also, I mean, like,
but it does have a,
but
a,
like, what is it? Even Dawn of the Dead in yes. Dawn of the Dead, which I guess yeah. is a little, I mean, had some stuff like that. That was, I think, I mean, was it a, I know the reason for it. The Hammer movies was because if it kind of looked fake, then the censors wouldn't like kick its ass
okay,
as much.
Okay.
But I can't tell you because it doesn't seem like Italians have ever really censored much of anything.
No, right, I mean, right. even the giallo classics have blood that looks like right. that.
But yeah. don't you think? I mean, it kind of looks like a, it's just the coloring to it is just a little tomato-y, in my opinion, you
like
know,
beet juice, and,
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah,
and crushed,
I mean,
red tomatoes.
Right, it's great. I love it, but it just, yeah.
I now, like the. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So this movie, it's at the point you're just like, where the fuck is this movie yep. going?
It was long. It was
you know,
long.
It's like, okay, it. What is happening? What are we doing with this? What's, you know, and then I love the, like the animated arrows and, yeah. you
right.
know, like it kind of reminded me of Kroll.
Yeah.
Yes. yes. Know? Like, you know what the weird thing is too, is it started. It's like, oh my God, shit. It was weird hearing a goblin soundtrack.
Yeah.
yeah.
To
yeah.
a sword and sorcery movie. And I'm like,
right.
Cause it was, you know, it's kind of funky. And you know, during I'm with you guys. It seemed like super long and like a lot of
right.
shit.
Right.
I wish they condensed it a little bit.
It's not a very long movie. It was an hour and 28 minutes.
I know.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
felt
but,
like
but
5
still,
hours.
Yes, it yeah. did. It felt super like, okay. So I'm with you guys on this one. And the thing is I had never seen this before. And so it's like, cause I'm like, I mean, I've seen, it's been on my list. I own it. but it's like it's sword and sorcery, but it's full check. I gotta watch it, but it's sword and sorcery. Right. You know? But anyway, so this was the first watch for me. I'm glad I watched it, but I'm probably gonna, you know, I mean, unless there's a like unless Fulci comes out with a which is he's already dead, but if there's somewhere there's some kind of a commentary on this where Fulci gets pissed off at everybody for hating his movie, I'll watch that. But other than that, I'll probably skip this one.
Can we just don't you feel like I feel like there's like a lot of jumping going on in this movie, like under the shot, the angle of the people jumping over, you know, the bad guys jumping
that's
over.
The,
you
that's
know
the
I mean?
Ball shot. Yeah, that's the money, the shot, money of the, shot of the movie.
People falling into caverns.
Yeah, yeah,
full,
yeah.
Full crotchel.
Yeah, and Mace just referred to everybody as friend in the whole movie. Dude. It's like, I thought you didn't have any friends, but you'd call everybody
friend.
You know, he like it says friends. I don't have any. This movie did kind of remind me. Did you ever see the anime movie of was it what was it? Fire and Ice.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I did.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of Fire and Ice a little bit, you know.
Tiga.
Which I love that. I love that movie.
Tiro was hot, and I don't care that she was made up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Definitely high on the spankability.
Well, easy there. But one last thing I want to say. So my son sent me this hilarious meme. Like, I told him that I was going to watch Lord of the Rings with Cassidy and her kids because they'd never seen it before, right? So, like, we're just texting. He sends me this meme that says, you know, some to the effect of, you know that Smeagol was only wearing that tiny little thing. And, you know, that we, looking through the camera, we didn't see anything. But you know that Sam and Frodo probably saw his balls the whole time, right? It was like just like they saw it the whole time. And, you know.
They were following him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he's jumping up and down. And it's like it's a tiny
kinda,
little thing.
In the transformation, he just kind of turned up like a Ken doll. There's nothing there. I mean,
bro.
You know,
are you telling me Smeagol doesn't have dick and balls? That irritates me.
He reverse hulked.
Yeah, he did.
He got smaller.
But I thought about that when I was watching that, all these crotch shots. I was like, oh, I'm glad that's not Smeagol.
Right.
Just like that. Because we're seeing it right there the whole time.
So, you know, I'm gonna say if you're into sword and sorcery movies and you haven't seen this, watch this.
I think this is my least favorite Fulci. Like
okay.
That I've ever seen.
Okay. Now. It just only because for me,
shit.
For me, because it feels like it kind of fell apart.
I just think that it didn't, there wasn't really much to do. It's like,
yeah.
So it's like, oh, we gotta destroy this lady.
Yeah.
And then this lady's like, I can't do it myself. So she brings in this dude who tries to do it. And it's
right.
Like, okay, cool. No.
And I kind of.
But
was,
why is this an hour and a half long?
I was a little bummed out when her mask was removed. And you got to give her props for wearing that bucket. And how does she eat with the mask on? How does she eat with the mask on? Because there's no mouth.
My understanding is she was absorbing people's essence through their severed head's brain.
Oh, okay.
That's what makes her tick
and,
so good.
And then sex with a snake, but I mean, whatever. And when the mask gets removed, yeah, I was expecting. I was going for hot, not. You know, yeah.
And they were doing drugs. There was the scene in
yeah,
the
right.
beginning.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Where they were all doing some blowing their noses off with whatever with the dog people.
Easy, guys.
Yeah.
This is for children. No, it wasn't. There were tits out the whole time.
Right. So I mean,
I get the feeling you're this. You have the same kind of feelings about this one, Rob.
Would you think? Is it a watch
for 49 cents? And if you got nothing else to do, I'd rent it and watch
there's
it.
Nothing, there's nothing.
I would never watch it again by myself, but no, I might not, yeah. Subject someone else to it because it's kind of fun to show someone something.
You know, Rob and I have actually done a couple of double features up at this little Ogden theater type thing. And Steve, you went to both, didn't you?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. If we do a sword and sorcery one, we're skipping this one because we're doing Sorceress. And then we'll see if we do Deathstalker.
Wizards, bro.
That's right, Wizards.
Yeah. That
you
one's
see,
cool.
Now, that's a something cartoon, like right? Wizards
yeah.
and Fire and Ice, or
yeah.
You know, that would be really rad.
I think the same guy did Wizards and Fire and Ice, but you could do Wizards and Heavy Metal.
Oh yeah.
No, you know what I like about Heavy Metal?
Bobas?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, John Candy in Heavy
Metal.
Oh
yeah, he's
is
great.
So
that's
funny.
Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so cool. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break and show you or make you listen to Deathstalker trailer, and we'll be right back to talk about that.
Journey to an age of great kingdoms. An age of awesome magic. An age of terrifying evil. Where one man sought the key to the ultimate power. He was the man they called Deathstalker.
Reunite the three powers. You will be power.
A brave man could get inside one car's castle and kill it.
If he can capture the amulet of life, he will rule the world. But an evil wizard stands in his path. And to the victor, a beautiful princess. Greatest challenge. The greatest adventure. The most legendary hero of them all. The man they called Deathstalker. The last great warrior king. Starring Richard Hill and Bobby Benton.
All right, everybody, we're back, and we're talking about Deathstalker from 1983. Now, this is ironic, and this is bad news. IMDb gave this a 4.6. Which is the last time, which is a crime because number one, how is this worse than I would have switched it around
to be honest. Yeah. I would have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was directed by a guy named, James Spardellati. And, but he was credited as John Watson. He's been a second unit director on a lot of times, on a lot of like big time movies. But he only has two directorial credits all to himself. It was this one and then Under the Gun from 1987, which I've never seen, but it looks like a cop thriller starring Tony Braxton, the dulcet tones of Tony Braxton. It starred Rick Hill as Deathstalker, the large, strong, handsome guy. Oh, you know, I forgot to talk about the writer, Howard Cohen. 25 writing credits, and we love this guy because he started with CoverGirl Models from 1975, which is really good. Vampire Hookers from 1970, yeah, which is a good one. Saturday the 14th, which is
it's a must.
But he also did he went through an 80s morning cartoon phase, like with Rainbow Bright and the Care Bears and all that. So,
oh
yeah, weird. Anyway, Rick Hill is Deathstalker, Barbie Benton. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, Barbie. She was at her hottest in this.
Oh dude,
it's Codile. Richard Brooker is Ogress. Lana Clarkson is Kyra. Victor Bo is King, and the list goes on and on. Basically, this movie is all about Deathstalker. He is a rogue sword and sorcery man. I don't know what you call it, but he's just like a hero. He walks around. We meet him first in the beginning of the movie as he comes upon this one woman who is being attacked and raped by a group of pig monster men or something like that, right?
Yeah.
He goes in and he's like, he takes care of that and he's like, bro, now that they're gone, I'm gonna go ahead and take my way. I'm gonna have my way with you. And she seems into it good enough. You know, we're not, I mean, I feel like, I don't know. It's 2024 now. I think they would have to have more conversation about consent and all that stuff. But this was 1983, so that's just what you do. We were animals. In 1983, we were animals, guys. It did not matter. But anyways, some old guy walks up and he's like, yo, we need you. He's like, can you give me a minute, please? And that gave the girl enough time to run away. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. She was.
So, I mean, maybe she wasn't as into it as I thought, but I was like, okay. Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's International Women's Month or something, right? And oh, so we're with her. I'm just saying, since it is, well, first of all, we're not slut shaming all of the boobies that were in this, okay? Because women,
right.
You have the power to do what you want with your bodies, especially if it's showing your boobies, okay? Number two, if you are into Deathstalker and you fall out of the mood, you're welcome to run away. Even though Deathstalker's a bummed out, okay? But let's just move on before I get myself in trouble, shall we?
Too late.
Anyway, so he takes us to this old guy takes Deathstalker to meet this king whose kingdom has been taken from him by a guy who's was it Kang? I can't even remember his name. It's been a while. Was it Munkar?
Munkar. Yeah.
And so basically, Munkar is this sorcerer who has taken over this guy's kingdom, and I can't even remember this guy's name, but he's like, go save it and get it back to me. I will give you status and I will give you land. And also, by the way, he's stolen my daughter, who is Barbie Benton. You can have her too. He's like, yo, bro, yes. Playboy Playmate of the Year in 1978 or some crap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, she was in a movie, I think it was called X-Ray. Hmm. I was like, oh, I feel like I saw that way too young on the cable.
Well, if it was on cable, it couldn't have been that crazy.
No, it was like on like Skinamax or
something. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Like, old cable.
Old cable.
Yeah,
the fuzzy channels.
Yeah, well, except for my dad loved tons of sports, right? So right. He would get all these sports channels, and guess what came along with them? A lot of those movie channels. He had to sneak up at night. It was so old that I would sit there on a TV that was like, I don't know what, maybe like 12 inches long. It was sitting, I'd sit on the fireplace next to it with my hand on the channel changer thing because it didn't have a remote. It just had this thing and I'd have to push it, turn it off and run to bed if I heard anything in the kitchen. And I got that down to one motion and out in less than a half a second. Anyhow. So he goes on this trek and he meets a buddy there, and this buddy's on his way to Munkar's, what do they call it? The tournament. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. The tournament. And basically all these tough dudes are going on there and they're going to fight. And whoever is the greatest fighter is going to be Munkar's heir and wins the hand of Barbie Benton. And it's all going to be straight up awesome. Right. Or is it? Does Munkar have poor intentions in mind for though? Do we get to see Barbie Benton naked? The answer, I'm just gonna let you know, yes, we do. Okay. So anyway, will Deathstalker save the day? Find out by watching Deathstalker from 1983. I want to say one thing before I go on. I want to say what a babe Barbie Benton and Lana Clarkson are in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because as they're going, Lana Clarkson is like just, maybe it's this sword and sorcery thing, but she shows up and she's got her boobies out. And she's like a warrioress herself, right? Like I said, this is Women's Month, International Women's Month, and it's like good for you. Anyway, what'd you guys think?
So I grew up with this movie.
Oh yeah,
and it, you know what drew me to it mostly? What Deathstalker and Deathstalker 2.
Deathstalker 2 is great too.
Is the cover work? Artwork? Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. And it's one of
Boris
those.
Boris Vallejo.
Yeah. And it's like, you get it, and this is awesome, this is fantastic, and you put it, and it's like. Yeah, okay.
They don't look anything like
boobs.
It. But...
All right. You know, so, but these are classics. I, you know, both Deathstalker, Deathstalker 2. So it's so horribly great. You know, and my favorite is the banquet at the end.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When there's like this pig guy, you know, and it's like, it's an obvious mask because his mouth doesn't move and everything. You know, it's like, it's so awesome.
Do you know my favorite part about that is I posted this. I took a picture by TV because what's Troy Bolton's name? What's his real name? Troy Bolton from High School Musical. Come on. The guy who's in that new wrestling movie. Come on. The Iron Claw.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but what's his name?
Are you talking about the guy with the fake hand that gets thrown into the ceiling?
No, I'm talking about Zac Efron. I'm talking about Zac Efron when he's all buff. And he's got the weird hair. That dude was in it. A dude that looked exactly like him. I'll show you the picture. I posted it on my Facebook. I'm like, how did he show up in 1983 for this one?
But I have to say that, honestly, Conan the Barbarian ruined me for all other hero sword and sorcery movies from then on. Conan the Barbarian, I think, is like the
well, what's the difference between that and this one? Money.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, dollars.
Awesome. Well, yeah, okay. But I mean, even Destroyer, Conan the Destroyer, isn't as good as Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, you're right.
Barbarian's the best. And even Red Sonja isn't as good as Conan the Barbarian.
No, but what's her name in it is really good. I liked her, yeah.
I thought Red Sonja was better than the second Conan movie.
Yeah, Destroyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with Wilt Chamberlain?
I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, Wilt Chamberlain's too skinny. He's a giant pussy. But then I get older and I'm like, Will Chamberlain would have kicked my ass. Professional athlete at the peak of his career. He would have killed me. I remember as a kid being
I mean, Deathstalker is so awesome. For the genre, it's absolutely a classic. It's fantastic.
There's one part that got me that I didn't know if I could recover from, right? So Munkar is there, and he's like, "Ooh, go in and let's kill Deathstalker in his bed." So he sends one of his dudes in, turns him into Barbie Benton.
Yeah,
and he goes in and he's feeling himself. Like, they start getting into him, and I'm like, "This is the most confused boner I have had in a very long time, and I do not know if I like this at all." But the thing is, there was all sorts of wild stuff like that the whole time. Everyone was scantily clad, you know.
You had
tons of ladies, tons of dudes, and they were just like all at the peak of their game. There were two topless mud wrestlers who were sisters, in that, which is wild, you know. But okay, hey, I don't know. What'd you think? All right.
I mean, there's some weird things that happen in the movie that I'm still wondering about plot points. I mean, none of these movies exactly make sense all the way through.
Sure,
give
us an example.
When he gets the sword from the imp and he turns into a boy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, like, they talked about it for long enough that I thought that was going to be, like, an important, like, a man can't kill the evil wizard. Only a boy can. I thought he was going to change into a boy. I don't know. Yeah. But they, like, come out of the cave, he turns back into a dude, and they never address it again.
I thought it was, so he goes to the witch. Basically, what the whole point of this movie is, there are three magical trinkets. One's a sword, one's a pendant, and I can't remember what the other one is. But a chalice. Yes, yeah. You're right. So basically, there's these three things, and the person who gets all three is going to be super powerful. Anyway, so this witch sends Deathstalker into this cave where, like, oh, I forgot to mention, like, the hand puppet guy who ate an eyeball, but I'll do that in a minute. But so he goes into this cave where there's this Muppet imp in talking, "Oh, I've been in here for blah, blah, blah," you know, and then some magic sees where it turns him into a little boy.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, and it's like that part weirded me out too.
All right, here's my hot take.
Oh.
What if that's really who he is, and all the rest of the movie is his imagination?
So basically, we just watched the Never Ending Story part two.
Turn around. I could be totally off base, but I was watching. I was like, I need to reconcile this to make sense.
By the way,
and this is all I can think of.
If that's the case, then that scene where Munkar turned that dude into a chick is even weirder,
right?
So yeah, oof. Okay. No, but I see what you're saying, because yeah, and you're right. It's like it was supposed to be this big epic thing, but then I feel like it's kind of like a video game journey, right?
Yeah.
You go that was like you have to do this side task quest. And then you do this, you know, and it's all I mean, once you're done in what's that game called that I like, Skyrim. You know, once you're done with something, you don't look back at it.
Yeah.
You're done.
You just walk out the cave after your mission, and you're like, well, on to the next thing.
Yep.
So is this your first time seeing it?
Yeah, this is my first time seeing both of those movies.
Okay.
So
how about you, Mike?
Oh, no. I've seen Deathstalker 100 times. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic.
Deathstalker 2 is really great, but Deathstalker 2 actually is a little bit more of a satire of the genre.
Sure.
And the dude, so you probably don't remember, but in Chopping Mall, the dude, like the super jock dude, is actually he's got brown hair and he's much shorter than the guy who played this is Deathstalker.
So it's very
different, and it's a whole different feel to it. This actually had three sequels. Let's see. Let me write these down.
Yeah,
Deathstalker 2: Duel of the Titans, 1987. Mm-hmm. Deathstalker 3: The Warriors from Hell, 1988. Deathstalker 4: Match of the Titans from 1991. So I mean, a low budget B movie that. You know, the thing is, this was a Roger Corman produced movie. So every penny that was put into this movie was used somewhere. And I can see that because, I mean, you look at it and this didn't have fog everywhere. This wasn't like blurry. And the monsters.
Vaseline lens.
Yeah, the monsters were, I mean, they weren't much better. Like the pig man and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And like the face makeup on some of those dudes, like the guys in the first scene, it was pretty bad. Yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't, because it was like so static. I mean, it was like they couldn't move, you know, so they were walking around with their mouths open and stuff like that, right? It's good for it. But the thing is, listen, they had decapitations.
Yeah.
What movie did I just, have you ever seen Scream? I'll talk about it later. Decapitations, ripping off limbs, eating eyeballs by Munkar had this little pet in a little chest that was obviously a arm that would come out and eat eyeballs that he popped out of boys' heads, right out of their heads, to feed
them. What else are you going to do with them?
Life is cheap, and it's made very clear in this. We got the Cro-Magnon men. We got the rape in the beginning type of thing. They have brown shit on their face. Like, I don't like it. Like, that's the thing. That is one I don't like. I like the pig man. It kind of reminded me of the Star Wars guys a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Right,
except
right.
for the Star Wars guys were way better put together, right? But you have to hand it to these guys for on the budget. And it's like, this is Roger Corman all over it because it's very exploitative. You know, it's killing, it's silly, it's like just wild, tons of nudity and tons of fun. I really like this one. I feel like production value for how much it was looked fantastic. There was tons of unneeded sex scenes. There was naked ladies in the background. And it's like, it just kept me like, you know, just like eyes on the screen.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
There's kind of an unspoken rule that if there's like a lot of boobies in a movie, I don't watch it when my wife's around. Not because, you know, it's not because I feel weird about it. And it's not because she's not an adult, but it's just, you know, kind of like, you know, whatever. But I turn this on. She goes, that's like the eighth pair of tits I've seen. And maybe this is one of those movies you should watch alone. I go, it's for the podcast. Sorry, babe. This is work. this is not me trying to have fun watching titties. This is for work. But one last thing is there is a remake in the works by a guy directed by Stephen Kostansky. The Void. He did The Void from 2016. Have you seen that? Oh my gosh,
yeah.
It's
oh,
awesome.
Yeah. I love The Void.
And then Psycho Gorman from 2020, which is also very cool.
I haven't seen Psycho Gorman yet.
Oh my gosh,
is it?
It is hilarious. It's so. Steve Kostansky is part of Astron 6, so he's not like he's behind the camera. Not, but you've seen The Editor, you've seen Father's Day, or you've seen Vanborg and those. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like, they're hilarious, and I love this. And he made. I was actually shocked to find out that he did The Void, which is a very serious movie, kind of Lovecraftian type thing. And it was I loved 2016. I watched it. I was like, oh shit, that's good. Psycho Goreman is actually stars the editor, the guy who played the editor, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of silly. Have you not seen Psycho Goreman? Have you seen the editor? Oh,
I've seen the editor.
So, but it's really good. It's funny. It's about this alien that comes down and these two kids like grab this talisman that whoever holds it controls this alien monster killer. It's really funny. Anyways, but it stars a guy named Daniel Bernhardt, who was in John Wick, Bloodsport. I don't really recognize him. He was Agent Johnson in The Matrix, but it's like, I don't know who that is, you know? Anyways, that's really all I got. I enjoyed the shit out of this one. I mean, I thought that I get that the story's silly and why are we doing this? And like, why do we have to do this before we do that type of thing? Just kind of the story plot holes, things like that. But whatever, it was fun. I had a good time. And to be honest with you, like, this is like my favorite kind of movie. Just like silly, turn your brains off, you know, and just enjoy it and whatever. I don't know. I liked it. What you
down.
Got?
Yeah, absolutely.
What you got? You got any more?
I like popcorn movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's like, you know, the popcorn and butter of like horror. There's a lot of popcorn movies, you know. I'm not going to say there are definitely some cinema masterpieces, but fantasy is kind of the same way. You're either getting big blockbuster, glossy, polished stuff or this.
The thing is I do like I think for every like Hereditary or, you know, A24, you know, kind of high elevated horror, you know, and for every one of those I watch, I can watch like 10 of these.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like, but and that doesn't mean I don't like Hereditary, because I love Hereditary, right? It doesn't mean that I like that kind of movie any worse. It's just that, man, to sit, you know, I have like 30 children, people. So I just, you know, it's just everything's going on around. I'm stressed out all the time. Looking at movies sends good chemicals to my brains. Okay. There you go. Nice. I just love that the sword and sorcery heroes are all have bad wigs. They're cocky and uncaring. Is that your woman? It is when I come by. She can be yours too, or have her sister. International Women's Month. There you go. That's another one. They treat women like objects, and I feel like. Oh wait, that's not what it's about. The opposite of that. The International Women's Month. My bad. Sorry, ladies. As if there's any ladies that listen to this show besides Julia.
I was gonna say, dark fantasy is not the genre of consent.
No.
There was none of that in any of these movies. Well, no, there was in Conquest. There was one.
I don't remember.
He saved that girl, and then when he was in her cave later.
Oh, the
you're
one
right.
That,
no, you're
she,
right.
She gave consent,
up.
But
the one that looks like Ray Don Chong from Quest for Fire.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But not a single Kyra did. She put the moves on.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But beyond that, there was
she was not ugly, by the way. Can we just make sure that's a thing? Not ugly.
Classic.
Anyway, so So, okay, so I think that's all we got for that. Steve, you say you have a question for next episode, so why don't you do this, and we will post it, and we'll post it, and you will remind people, and we'll get that. So why don't you give that? Why don't you go ahead and let the people know.
Okay, I finally have a question. This is the question. Yeah, yeah, it's been a while since I've had a question. This is my question. Is there been a point when you were watching a movie, was there a point in when the movie got better? Because, you know, we always, sometimes we talk about movies, it's like, yeah, it's going along, it's pretty good, it's all, and then it hits a point, and then it's like, oh, it sucked. You know, it's like,
I know exactly a movie.
You ever been watching a movie, and it's like, okay, this is all right, but then something happens, and it got better.
So call that in.
That's my question.
385-351-9273, 385-351-9273. We will be all over Facebook and potentially Instagram. With that, so we'll get some calls in. I'll have a new thing. Everything will be working by next time, okay?
All right.
So I think that's all we got. You got anything else? Rob, do you want the people to know where can they find you? I mean, because,
You want to look at guitars and pictures of my dogs, at Rad Rob Gray on Instagram, and at Radical Instrument Products for exclusive guitar photos.
Ooh. Guitar porn.
Yep.
Yeah.
You pump them out, it seems like. I mean, maybe it's just like, you see, like, oh, you made two or three more. And I'm like,
Yes.
Yeah.
See, batch build. You got a batch build.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's cool.
All right. So I guess that's all we got. But make sure to tell your friends, call that in. And with any other feedback, hatred or worse, I was reminding Steve about how we got a bad review on our Apple, on our podcast, on the iTunes because I talked too much shit about football on Twitter. So for whatever reason, call us in 385-351-9273. And other than that, I think we're done, right?
Yes.
So for the Corpse Cast, we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.